the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as he shifts and cracks. Where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, past the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Scaredy Cats. I am one of your hosts, Daniel Hummer.
Hi, guys. It's Mindy.
I'm here with my sister, Mindy. We're here to review the movie Frozen from 2010. We will not
and
be talking
not
about letting
Disney
it go.
Movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's not going to be Elsa and Olaf and all that shit. This is a very different movie from that. And it's going to be a lot of fun to talk about. Before we do all that, though, let's go to some of the plugs. Make sure to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes, Boxman and Smark, every Wednesday and Saturday after AEW on Wednesday and Saturday for the Hollywood Hangout. Make sure to check us out Friday for Unscripted Wrestling at 6:30 and Unscripted Unlimited Saturdays at 7. We will be back with those two shows. We were a little ill this week, so we weren't able to do those two this week, but they'll be back next week. So make sure to check that out. And make sure to check out Sean at Elite Diplodoc on YouTube for his gaming. And you want to get into some news, Mindy?
Yeah, sure. So I have promised you guys that we're going to do a little news section to the show. So what I have so far is horror movie news that is for upcoming movies that are in the theaters already. The first one is Morbius, which is more of a superhero movie, but it has a horror complex to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then number two is the movie X. And what it is, it's about young actors trying to film an adult film where people are not okay with it. And, like, they're existence goes from being calm and goes from being like I come in peace to like people killing them. So that would be a good one. Number three is Umna. It's a Japanese movie, but basically it's a woman who lives on a farm and all of a sudden, everything becomes distorted, and she starts having hallucinations, and it just gets really trippy. So that's one to watch out for. Another one is You Won't Be Alone. That is a young girl gets kidnapped. And while she's kidnapped, they are able to make her into a witch. And she goes through life wondering what it would be like to be human. So doesn't really sound, that one really doesn't sound like a horror movie, honestly. It sounds more like a drama movie, but we'll see. And then last but not least, for the ones in the theaters, is You Are Not My Mother. This is a movie about a girl named Char, and her mother goes missing in North Dublin. And eventually, when her mother does come back, Char is determined to not only find out what happened to her mother, but also find out what happened to other members of her family and starts digging and going into things that she shouldn't be doing.
Right.
So that is our movies that are in theaters. Now we have a couple upcoming ones. So first one is going to be Ambulance. Looks really good. It's about three bank robbers that need to get away quickly, so they end up stealing an ambulance. That one's going to be on April 8th. Then we have the Firestarter remake, which I'm very excited about. This Firestarter is Stephen King. They are remaking it, and that will be coming out in May 13th of this year. And then we have number 3, which is The Black Phone, and that is coming on June 24th of this year. And that is all I got.
Oh, yeah. A lot of good stuff coming. I heard a lot about Morbius. It's not doing too well in the theater or in critics' eyes right now, but fans seem to really enjoy it. So,
well, I just went through the list of the movies that are playing and the movies that are coming up.
Yeah. Hell yeah, sounds good. All right, you want to get into Frozen, Mindy?
Okay, so first, before we start, and I think Daniel's going to agree with me here, even though we're going to first do, like, the loosely commentary and then really get into it.
Yeah.
What I would like to say real quick is that if you have a weak stomach and you can't handle, like, gore and stuff like that, this is not for you. It's just not. Right, Daniel?
No, yeah, definitely. I don't, yeah.
If gore and blood make you sick, this movie will make you sick.
Yeah, I mean,
I just want to put a little warning out there. It's not too bad. It's not like Saw bad.
No.
But I just want to put a little tiny warning out there for you guys, just so you know what you're hopping into. So, Frozen is a movie that is on Tubi. It is from 2010. It has three actors. The girl, I have no idea where she even came from. I don't remember her. And then her boyfriend, I've seen him before, but I can't remember. And then Lynch was actually somebody that I used to watch on Disney Channel.
Really?
So that was weird. Yeah. He was in a couple of Disney Channel shows and movies back in the day. Like when they did like the Disney Channel original movies or whatever, before they made it stupid and whatnot, he was in a couple of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because she has that, like, baby face that really doesn't age.
Yeah.
So when you look at him, and then, like, you look at pictures of how he was when he was younger and everything like that, he looks somewhat of the same. I'm not going to say he looks identical, especially since now it's been 12 years. So I'm sure he probably does look different, but
right.
I found that funny. But basically, before we get down to the nitty gritty here, basically an outline of Frozen is you got three friends. You got two guy friends who are best friends. They've been childhood friends since forever, which we'll get into that. And Parker, who is Daniel, one of the boys' girlfriends, who he just brings along everywhere because it's his girlfriend, and he's one of those guys that are clingy. Some guys are clingy.
Yeah.
So, hip and Lynch, they get into a few arguments and everything, and then at the end of the night, they make a really, really horrible decision, which unfortunately ends up with them being stuck up high about 20, about 20 feet in the air, I would say. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it was pretty high. Yeah, yeah. About 20 feet.
About 20 feet in the air. And I'm not going to say that they were on or anything just yet, but, like, just they were just dangling there. And the lights shut off, everything else shut off, and there was no way they were going to get down.
Yeah.
So that's a little outline of what happened in the movie. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is really one that can be spoiled. So that's why I didn't really start with that, because you walk into the movie knowing what you're getting, especially if you just read a synopsis about it. You know, it's three friends that get stuck at a ski lift and got to try to figure it out. There's a couple of, I don't even know if there's twists and turns, really. It kind of goes about how you would expect if you got stuck on a ski lift.
I'm still mad at Daniel, though. I'm really mad at that Daniel character, because when he jumped from that ski lift, if he would have just maneuvered himself a little bit differently, he would have never broke his legs like that. The only reason he broke his legs, guys, is because of the way he landed. If you watch it, like I have a couple of times, and Daniel did, I'm sure he noticed, he kind of pencil dives.
Yeah, fall on your ass, you fucking dipshit. I was yelling that at the TV this week.
Oh, you're back.
Yeah, he just don't fall on your fucking feet after, like, that was just stupid. But a lot of things about this movie worked for me. And one of the things is, because in horror, we talk about a lot of crazy shit, you know, Michael.
Like stuff that'll never happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And maybe, you know, and like we say, like, you know, with Scream and stuff, the cool thing about it is that it could happen. This could, like, very much happen in an everyday scenario where a couple of kids get forgot on a ski lift. And, you know, wolves are definitely a real thing, especially in the
mountains. Oh, absolutely.
So it's got a very real feeling to it. And I think the director, Adam Green, did a very good job, because doing a little research into it, he used only practical effects. There was no stunt doubles. Because
he wanted it to be real.
They were actually high, 20 feet up in the air the whole time. That wasn't a green screen or anything. And most of his crew, the camera people, were afraid of heights. So he actually had to, and he was afraid of heights, but he actually had to go up there himself and shoot, because no one else would do it. And
yeah, and I got to give it to those actors, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they did a really good job being stuck 20 feet in the air. Like, yeah, they freaked out every once in a while, but they were up there for about 3 days.
Yeah. It was very, it had this feel to it to where you're just trapped and there's nothing you can do. And it was very good.
It kept me on the edge of my seat, honestly.
Yeah, me too. It was intense without even having to do too much.
Yeah. Just the lingering of what was going to happen. And you knew something was going to happen to him, but you weren't sure, and you weren't sure which one of them was going to get it.
Yeah.
I will say, though, people, be smart. If you ever get stuck on a ski lift, two things you don't do. You don't pencil dive out of the ski lift, for one. And you don't try and shimmy down a cable wire with only a pair of winter gloves.
He did it, though.
Did you see his hands?
Yeah, they got fucked up.
That's part of the reason why the wolf came back, because they smelled the blood.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he got down, he was puppy chow.
Yeah, Dan got fucked up.
Poor Dan. I felt so bad for Dan. I really did. I think the girl overacted.
Yeah.
In that scene, if you ask me, I think she tried a little bit too hard. But
well,
I really never seen her in anything else, so I'm not really going to judge her for that.
Yeah. I mean, I think because they were using practical effects, too, I think a lot of it was on her and the other guy to kind of show the audience how intense it was. Because we saw the fall and we saw the bones and how, like, gory that was, but they also only showed us that for a few, like, seconds, too. And
I like
the
that,
wolves.
Too, though.
And you barely see the wolves eating it. Like, you see them fuck them up a little bit, but then you turn away to them. And that, so they kind of had to act and, like, show how intense that was by just seeing her and, what was it, Joe,
Lynch.
Right? Yeah, Lynch's face. They had to show them two reacting. And I think it was cool that the boyfriend actually went out first, and then she had to kind of survive with the best friend, or try to.
I'll give it to her. She's a fighter.
I didn't need
at
the scene
the end
where she
of the
pissed
day.
Her pants, though. I didn't need the scene where she pissed her pants. That was a little much.
Well, it was because they were trying to make it as realistic as they could.
Yeah, I see what they
and were doing. Let's face it, if you were stuck in the cold for several days, 20 feet in the air, you're going to piss your pants.
Yeah. No, I understand. It was just a little much. I thought she did a good job, though. Emma Bell is her name. I thought
she did okay.
For what she was asked to do, she was all right.
I mean, was she really final girl kind of material? Not really. But she did her job.
Yeah, she did.
I just think, unfortunately, I think the boys, my unpopular opinion would be that the boys definitely stole the show.
Dan didn't have much time to steal the show. I mean, that was like in the first 20 minutes where he got fucked.
About 30 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't get too much time with Dan. I mean, besides...
No, but I do like the way that Lynch's character had some character development. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, because he was trying to step up and kind of be the hero, and when they kind of set him up as just like the douchey best friend.
Yeah. And then he told the story about why he's mean to girls and whatnot, because of the one girl that was mean to him.
Yeah.
And I honestly, like, some of it could have been cut, I feel. In another way, I also feel like some of that had to happen to show us that he really isn't a douchebag. He does have feelings.
Yeah. No, exactly. I thought Joe was a great character. He was the one that was freaking out when they first turned the lights off and shit. I mean, it's just the best part about this movie is the realism and the fact that, like, it doesn't feel like independent, but it doesn't feel like big and glossy
big
either.
Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I really
like. I definitely agree.
It's like you're there with these three people and you're stuck with them. And they're just some of the body horror shit, you know, it's not my favorite part of the genre. So, and the bones actually didn't like turn me off that much. And even Joe's body, like later when she, it was when her hands were stuck to the pole.
When she had the uncovered hands.
Yeah, and she ripped it off, and, like, the skin's ripping off onto the middle. And it's like, oh, that was the one that I was like, oh, god damn. But, I mean, it was cool, too.
But, like I said, I got to give it to this movie. I got to give it to Adam Green, because I and yourself were both pretty desensitized when it comes to this stuff. But
yeah.
I don't know about you, but this movie actually did scare me a little bit.
Oh, yeah. It was creepy. It wasn't like jump scares or anything like that. I mean,
no.
Some of the shit with the wolves was, but it was just like, this could really happen. And it kind of, you know, it made me realize that I'm never going skiing. I'm more of a sled guy. And fuck ski lifts.
Yeah, I mean, I will probably never get on the ski lift after that.
It was absolutely nuts. I thought they did a really good job at it, though, because I've seen a couple of different, like, Trapped-type movies like this, like that one movie with James Franco in the cave, 48 Hours, some shit, I can't remember.
And then Open Water with the two people in the water with the sharks when they get left behind. But I think this one did a better job, honestly, in my personal opinion.
Me too. I think because the three actors played, I mean, like I'd say more Joe and Parker played off each other very well. You know, Dan did a good job too, but he was out pretty early, like I said. But
especially
it was,
when Joe and Parker started to argue.
Yeah.
And they started to try and blame each other.
Yeah, because that's natural reaction and shit like that.
I completely understand, but I totally felt for Lynch when he was like, don't you dare try and blame me. That was my best friend.
Yeah.
You've known him for only a year. He's been in my life as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
And to me, that was really real.
It was real and it was impactful. That was good.
It was, and it showed me that he wasn't just the immature asshole best friend. He really did have a heart, and he did love his best friend. And because he loved his best friend so much, when Dan asked him to take care of Parker, he took it seriously.
Yeah.
He shielded her from what was going on, even though her dumb ass kept trying to look. And then he tried his best to get him out of there.
I think the real message to this movie is no means no. They would have just listened to that fucking dude.
That's what I'm saying, guys. That's what I'm saying, because here's the thing. I've noticed this in a bunch of different horror movies. I'm sure my co-host has also seen it. But there's so many different scenarios where you could have just done the right thing, walk away, and you would have been fine.
Yeah.
And even in the New Texas Chainsaw Massacre that we had discussed and whatnot, if they hadn't have gone inside that orphanage and demand that lady tear her flag down and get into a fight with her that wasn't necessary and everything, the movie wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
There would have been no movie.
Exactly.
Because she wouldn't have had a heart attack. So those kind of things, unfortunately, are coming to light. I mean, this was in 2010 for Frozen, but I noticed that it is coming back in our genre, and I do not like that part of our genre. As far as I'm concerned, I think that's kind of stupid.
Right.
Like, why would you show us that they could easily get out, but they're not going to because they're stupid? I mean, every once in a while, that concept is okay, if you know what I mean. But if you keep on relying on it all the time, it gets old.
No, I feel you. How many,
I'm really interested to ask you this. You go ahead. You're better at making up stuff than I am.
Oh, okay. Well, I actually had a different note about the wolves because these are real legitimate wolves. Like I said, they're practical effects. They brought real wolves out. I mean, they're trained, but I was reading too. When Dan took his spill and the wolves came out and did the thing, you notice one shot in the movie where when the wolves are going at Dan, one wolf does get really fucking close. And you think, well, that's supposed to, I mean, he's getting eaten. But These were real wolves. This was none of this was CGI or special effects. This was real wolves.
And
the one wolf
makes it so scary.
Yeah, and they actually had to have a trainer like come in and like right away because Dan like started like shitting himself like oh shit, because the wolf got like right to his cheek, and so they had to bring the trainer out and fucking get the rope on him and stuff and make sure everything was all good. But I thought I liked the reliance of practical effects, and that to me that helped made everything feel very real. And without that, I don't think this movie's as good.
I agree. I don't think it would have set as well as it did with us and scare us as well as it did without having the real wolf. I do feel that if they would have done like CGI or something like that, I think it would have ruined it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, as much as
it would have taken away the realism.
Yeah. I mean, you could do some cool shit where he rips his neck off and stuff with special effects, but I don't think it needs it, and I think it really helps the movie that all of it feels like you're there and it could really happen, and, you know, it just it
just
feels,
like I told
that
you before.
Yeah.
Just like I told you before, Daniel, sometimes all you need is just one simple idea, and
I mean,
if
and
you
this
keep
is as simple
it simple,
as you can get.
It can happen.
Yeah.
Exactly. He chose, the director chose, and the screenwriter, they chose a scenario that would be scary and that could actually happen, and kudos to that.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. I think it was a great choice for the movie. I think it didn't need to be a thought-provoking. What it was is what it's supposed to be, and I'm sure it's happened before to people. And that's what makes it scary.
Yeah.
Now, we talked a lot about Dan. We should give our buddy Joe some, because we glossed out. You did mention it. But when Joe does the big climb across the wire and makes it down and everything, and then the wolves start, you know, chasing him down and shit.
Mm-hmm.
That scene... I mean, it's kind of the skip-forward scene when she's crawling later, but oh my god, that almost made me look away too, because that was pretty, like, his body was fucking mutilated. They were
feasting
on Joe's poor ass. Lynch was going through it.
He really was, and she got lucky when she crawled past those wolves, because the only reason she didn't get hurt was because they were already feasting.
Yeah, they were preoccupied. The one was staring at her, though. Did you see that? I was like, oh, shit. Is the one going to...
Yeah, I thought the one was going to pounce at her, but then he kind of got yelled at by what I would consider probably the leader of their pack.
Yeah.
And...
Like, we're busy, dog.
Yeah, like, come over here. This is where the food is. So, I mean, but, yeah, it's just honestly a really good movie. And if you guys are okay with the type of, like, stranded movies, I would definitely recommend this. Definitely.
I would 100% recommend it. I would give this probably 9 out of 10 ski lifts. Because this one really worked for me. I thought it was really good. It was dark. It was just that it had that realism. It made it scary. A lot of the stuff we watched, it's hard for me to get scared. I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. They made scenes intense without even much going on, and I think that's hard to do in film. So this gets
hard. It is. And I completely agree. I'm going to go ahead and give it a 9 out of 10 as well. I completely agree with everything that you said and whatnot, and I'm glad that it intrigued you enough to do a lot of research.
Yeah, it was good shit. I liked it. All right, you want to know what we're doing next week, Mindy?
Sure, why don't you tell them?
The new Netflix movie, No One Gets Out Alive. starring Christina Rodlo and Mark Minchansa. This is a British horror movie. And, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. It just came out not too long ago. And it's based on a 2014 novel of the same name. So we're going to get into that this week and talk about it.
All right. Sounds good.
All righty.
So it was a good time, Daniel. I'm going to give a good old hootie-hoo and tell everyone to be safe and have a great week.
Absolutely.
And we'll see you guys on Sunday.
All right. Everyone have a good one. And hootie-hoo.
Hootie-hoo. Bye, guys.